Hey everyone, this is James Mackey and welcome to the Breakthrough Hiring Show. Join us as we cover high-level thought leadership and step-by-step guides on how to make people a competitive advantage for your organization. I'm incredibly proud to be the CEO of Secure Vision, the sponsor of this show and the number one contract recruiting, embedded recruiting, and RPO firm. A thank you to our partners, Greenhouse, the hiring operating system for people-first companies, and GEM, the all-in-one hiring solution recruiters love. Let's go! Hey everyone, welcome to the Breakthrough Hiring Show. I'm your host, James Mackey. We've got a short and sweet episode for you today. We're going to keep it to around 10, 15 minutes, somewhere in there. Before we jump into it, I just wanted to say thank you to our audience, for everybody tuning in. I really appreciate you. Feel free to reach out with feedback on the show. Remember, this is for you. It's not for me. I want to make sure that I'm adding value to you, that our guests are helping you as well, that we're able to guide talent strategy for you, whether you're sitting in the CEO seat, COO, CPO, head of talent acquisition. I really appreciate you. We've developed a really great executive audience. I hear from some of you folks every week, people reaching out through DM on LinkedIn, letting us know that some of the tips that we're sharing are helping to guide talent strategy. Love hearing that feedback. And remember, if there's any topics that you want us to discuss, I'd be happy to receive that feedback from you as well. So you can reach out on the website, breakthroughhiring.io, or you can also just DM me on LinkedIn. I have an open profile, so I'll see it. And I'll make sure to get back to you. So I always enjoy engaging with the audience. The other thing that I've really been impressed with the audience is just by the simple fact of being here, you're the type of person that is investing yourself, that wants to learn and grow. And so just by that, as sort of everybody's default setting that is engaged with the show, it's just been so incredible to engage with our guests and our audience. So anyway, thank you so much. And I'm really, really excited for the future. We are building out some incredible partnerships with category leading tech companies, bringing on CEOs and executives from a couple of these companies to run co-hosting segments. So the show is going to continue to evolve. And we are going to be providing you with a range of episodes. I love the panels, right? We're just kind of riffing with a couple of my peers here at Secure Vision. But we're also going to be bringing on more incredible guests. I mean, as the show's taking off, we're getting outreach from some really high-level, C-level executives at category-leading tech companies that want to come on the show. So the guest list that we have coming up is quite impressive. And I think you're really going to enjoy those episodes as well. So we're trying to provide you with a variety of content and some a little bit more casual, some that's a little bit more data driven, right? Or emphasis greater on data. Hopefully everything we talk about, whether casual or not, is based on data and evidence, not just our beliefs, if you will. So we always try to do that for you. But anyways, let's dive into it. I got a few topics, stuff that's been top of mind, folks that I've been speaking with lately. A couple of things have come up, but I want to share it with you. The first topic that I think it's, for those of you executives out there, as you're communicating a message alongside ROI, right? Like you need data and evidence to really dramatically improve or change the direction of a culture or the way a company is operating. But the narrative alongside of that, one of the narratives, if you're pushing toward a people first culture and you're looking for buy-in, that, and this is what you can use alongside data, is simple terminology: hiring is a team sport. That's really the message that you want to drive home, and you need to show an ROI as to why that's so important. But sharing the story that, remember, it doesn't matter how good your recruiters are. It doesn't matter how good your agency partners are. It doesn't even matter how good your recruiting tech stack is. I don't care if it's generative AI, backed or whatever else. It just doesn't matter. If the hiring managers aren't clear on what they're looking for, or there isn't a process in place to ensure that they're clear what they're looking for, if the interview team isn't prepared, interview process is too long and dragged out, basically, if you don't have structured hiring, then the company's not ultimately going to be successful at hiring top talent. So a big part of achieving results, as we know, in recruiting is making sure we have executive buy-in. And a big part of that is being able to prove the ROI. It's being able to look at the North Star metrics that the company has, and any key people initiative that you have needs to be directly tied back to one of those North Star metrics. So if you can't show a clear causal relationship between a project that you're doing and the ROI, opportunity cost, or cost savings that it can provide, it's going to be really hard to move the culture in the direction that you want to move it in. So when we're speaking with the CEOs and the board, we need to be able to show that ROI. And then the high level, again, philosophy, right? Hiring is a team sport. It's the only way to get it done. So that's one topic that's been top in mind for me. I think something else that's come up recently is we've been in this market correction, particularly those of you that are in the tech industry. It's been about 6 to 9 months now, right? And I think that there's sometimes folks that aren't involved with hiring on a regular basis that they believe that an employer market means that recruiting is easy. It's easy to pick up talent. And the reality is that there probably is more qualified talent out there, right? We've seen significant layoffs in tech. And I can understand that. In some cases, it might be a little easier to recruit talent. But it's very important to remind folks that it doesn't get dramatically easier. Reason being is that there's a lot more candidates coming inbound. There's a lot more candidates in your funnel. You have to do a lot more work to filter through candidates and make sure that you're getting the best candidate hired. So if you don't have a structured interview process, there's going to be a ton of candidates in there. And it's going to basically be very hard from a bandwidth perspective to manage that pipeline. So of course, companies have to make hard decisions to keep costs low. However, you have to factor in the cost of managing larger inbound candidate flows and having more candidates, top of funnel, screening calls, these types of things. The other thing is that great candidates are asking harder questions. People are a lot more hesitant to move to a new company if they feel their company is stable. So that's something to consider too. In 2021, right, when the market was growing at an insane rate, people were jumping left and right. They were all over the place. It was easier to pull people away. Whether true or not, folks felt like, whether it was true in their situation or not, people are so embedded with the idea, the concept that they can make more money with a jump than staying at their current company. And I know there's data out there to back that. What I'm referring to is that regardless if it was true in their specific situation or not, that's such an ingrained part of the tech culture that a lot of people were jumping quite rapidly. We're not seeing that right now. People are diving in a lot more. They're a lot more cautious than they used to be. So I think that you got to remember, just because it's an employer market, it's still hard. You're going to have a lot more work to do top of funnel. And just because you have more inbound applicants doesn't mean that you're not doing outbound. You still need a clear outbound strategy. The way that I like to think about it is, think about our revenue funnels, right? Our revenue acquisition funnels. Inbound customers, inbound leads are great. The issue with inbound leads is you get whatever comes in. So one of the things that I noticed just as a business owner of Secure Vision, we do contract recruiting, embedded recruiting, RPO, is that a lot of the inbound leads that we get are from the SMB market. And that's great, you know, when you're starting out as a small company. But when you start to want to achieve scale, you start to look, in our case, at larger companies, growth stage companies, mid-market, enterprise. Those folks weren't coming inbound for us. And so we had to be more thoughtful in figuring out how to engage with later stage companies. And that required, to some extent, an outbound motion. And the same thing applies to talent acquisition. Now, some roles for some positions, or maybe at a certain level of growth, inbound is going to be more effective. The reality is that to get this type of talent that you need, the best possible talent that's the best possible fit at the right time, you're going to need an effective outbound strategy, and you're going to need budget for that. So I've found, again, you need data, you need to be able to show an ROI and an opportunity cost. But alongside of that, I found it's really helpful to give that revenue analogy to executive leaders who might be a little bit more sophisticated when it comes to understanding revenue strategy, but they haven't exactly figured out how to draw the parallels into talent acquisition. The other thing is I've seen some companies slow down their hiring process. They're letting candidates spend more time in the interview process. There's almost less of a sense of urgency. I think that this is caused for two reasons. One, maybe folks feel like candidates don't have as many opportunities on the market. I think it's very important to remind our teams that the best candidates always have options. And I know that there's some cases where really great people are out of work for several months. But if an A player is out of work for several months in this market, I think it's still because maybe they got a good severance, they're sitting on a little bit of cash, and they're taking their time. A players that want to get back to work quickly are going to be able to find something relatively quickly. So I think that that's something to keep in mind. We can't just kind of take our foot off the gas. And I think it's really important to share that with the people on your team. The other thing I mentioned is that we're seeing a lot more indecisiveness because, you know, we'll see certain roles open up. Companies might change their mind a little bit more frequently in this market condition. I think clear planning and really slowing down in the planning phase and possibly adding a few additional steps to considering whether a role is even open in the first place or not is particularly important in this market condition. The idea should be whenever we open a role, we're moving at it full speed ahead, a high sense of urgency, and we're looking to get this thing done and achieve a great result with a great new hire. There should be no ambiguity or uncertainty surrounding if a position is needed in this market condition. It wastes everybody's time. And not only does it create a bad candidate experience, but your hiring managers and leaders, if they're focused on recruiting for roles they may not actually need, they're taking their time away from working on other aspects of their role, which are going to provide more value to the people that they're managing and to customers. So that's one thing I would just consider. Look at your pre kind of approval process for roles that you're thinking about opening up, and let's try to, you know, fine tune it, right? Make maybe that approval process a little bit longer so that if people are kind of flip-flopping back and forth, whether it's leaders or hiring managers or whatnot, let them get that out of the way. And so I think approval process for roles, maybe if it usually took, maybe it takes almost a third to half the time more. And of course, that depends. If you're working for a large enterprise, maybe you already have a very robust, long process. But I think for a lot of folks out there, a lot of people rush the approval process. So there should be several steps, everything from 30, 60, 90 day plans to understanding the current capacity of the team and why this position is needed, defining salary ranges, making sure that the hiring manager truly understands strategic initiatives from the leadership team. Again, showing a direct causal relationship between hires and the company achieving North Star metrics, clearly understanding performance. And making sure that on a department level, key initiatives aren't loosely tied to North Star metrics. There needs to be a direct relationship. And if a hire is required for something that seems more project oriented, whatnot, there's more likely to be a change of, you know, for folks to change their mind or for companies to pull back on that hire. So I think as people executives, we need to do what we can through the approval process to make sure that other executives in the company don't rush into hiring plans that they're ultimately going to just shift around a couple months down the road. Because we see that a lot in these types of market conditions. The other thing that I would like to mention is how we recruit recruiters. You know, right now, we might not be doing a whole lot of that, but we want to be thinking one step ahead. And I don't know if it's going to be 3-6 months from now or even 9 months, but we're going to get to the point where we're going to need to start hiring again. So the last topic is a reminder that not all recruiters are created equal. Of course, some recruiting positions might be a little bit more straightforward or transactional, top of funnel, maybe sourcing or just screening calls for individual contributors, right? Where it really just comes down to communication skills and ability to follow a process. However, I will say that the best recruiters out there and the people that actually have potential to move up into team leads or managers within your organization are going to be the folks that really understand core business objectives, that understand North Star metrics. They need to understand the relevancy of the roles that they're recruiting for and why that matters to the company. The reason being is there's a lot. You want them to understand how North Star metrics cascade down to their position. So how they think about spending and investing their time and approaching their role. Second, you have future leaders. Third, it shows a lot of self-awareness and awareness about somebody's environment. It shows a lot of details around their ability to think holistically about the company and the core objectives. It shows you a lot about their intelligence. It shows you a lot about their ability to adapt. People that have the ability to have that strategic mindset, are ultimately going to be folks that are going to be most valuable and create the most value again for your organization. So I want to share with you a question that I ask that I think is a very, very high leverage question. I ask it in any final round interview that I'm on for my company, Secure Vision, and I want you to give it a shot. Don't be closed-minded. Don't knock it till you try it. And I think you're going to get some really incredible results, as I have. I feel like this question was really a game changer. So keep in mind, this is a question that I ask in a final round after a structured interview process, behavioral interviews, screening calls. And we've asked a lot of very specific questions to get the right feel if somebody has the right traits and skill set to be successful. And when they get to the final round, if I'm the final round interview for the role, the question that I'd like to ask, again, individual contributors, I will ask them, if you were promoted to CEO of your company tomorrow, what would be your top three initiatives and why? This could be something that you're doubling down on. This could be something that you're going to discontinue. Or this is going to be something that you shift around or change, or maybe it's something completely new. I absolutely love this question because, again, it's going to tell me so much about how that person thinks. It's going to tell me how much action they're going to take and how quickly. It's going to let me know if they're analytical or emotionally driven. How are they going to make decisions about people-related decisions? It's going to show me how collaborative they are. It's going to show me how intellectually curious they are, how self-aware they are about their own abilities and shortcomings, how self-aware or aware they are about their team's abilities and shortcomings, how well they understand how the organization runs as a whole, what are the key parts, key things that actually drive success, what are the highest leverage things that drive success, shows adaptability, shows neuroplasticity. It shows a lot of things that are going to be indicators of success. You're going to get a lot of information on their raw intelligence and ability based on this question. What's really cool about it is you can dive in and ask follow-up questions and really get a sense for, okay, that sounds really good. How would you go about executing that? And you're going to learn so much about this candidate. It's like one question and a ton of value. And I will tell you, since we've implemented that question, our batting average for hiring incredible people has skyrocketed. One of the important things too to keep in mind is when somebody has the ability to understand the company's key North Star metrics and how that cascades down to their role, is they're also going to be able to explain that to other candidates. They're going to be able to explain the impact that candidates can have at the company, given the point of impact they're going to be in, right? Given their role. And that's incredibly powerful because you got to remember, A, players are going to be thinking about that. They're going to be thinking about what they're learning, what their point of impact is, and why does it matter? And so by asking this question to candidates, you're going to be sure that these recruiters are going to be able to explain the value to other candidates, the value that those other candidates will be able to create and contribute to the organization. So those are my three pointers today. I hope you enjoyed the episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'll see you next time. Take care. Thank you for tuning in to the Breakthrough Hiring Show. We hope you've enjoyed today's episode and gained a lot of valuable insights to help guide your talent strategy. I also want to say thank you to my team at Secure Vision for making the show possible. Secure Vision is the number one embedded recruitment provider, and we are a three-time category leader on G2. Secure Vision partners with over 150 companies to provide on-demand recruiters who specialize in either tech, revenue, or G&A. For more information, you can visit securevision.io. For more content, you can follow me on LinkedIn at James Mackey or on Twitter at James Mackey DMV. We've dropped links in the description. If you want to be on our show or have any topics you'd like for us to cover, reach out at breakthroughhiring.io. We really appreciate your support with reviews on Apple Podcasts. And lastly, make sure to tune in every Tuesday and Thursday for a new episode. See you next time.